Good afternoon. Glad to see you back and thankful for this occasion that we have to study again together. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to read a passage from there, if we might. 1 Timothy 5, I meant to say, and verse 14. The King James translation reads, "I will that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Now, you recognize that the context here, Paul is writing about widows that are qualified to be taken into the number, whatever might have been involved in that, some sort of support certainly from the church. And he says that some are not eligible for that. He says some would be a disaster if that was the course taken with them. And so the King James reads, "I will that the younger women marry." Probably the context and other translations are correct in saying, "I will that the younger widows marry." But nevertheless, what he describes here wouldn't be a bad thing for anybody, any that is, young woman. I need to figure out what I'm doing here. Be a good thing, wouldn't it? Let's see. I thought I had this set up. All right, forgive me then. There we go. That wouldn't be a bad life for anybody, any young woman. "I will, therefore, that the young woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." When I was a kid, I used to hear preachers emphasize that more maybe than I have, that marriage is a good thing, and that having children is a good thing. It's a positive thing for the world. It's a blessing. It'll be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. We've always recognized the fact that some will not, for various reasons, have children. And some will not marry. Some of the best folks that ever lived will not marry. We can serve God married, unmarried, children or without children. We recognize that to be so. But I don't think any of us would disagree that it's a blessing to be married and to have children, to hear those children, to know and love God. What is it that Psalm 127 famously reminds us? That children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb are His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, a lot of folks don't believe that. I was reading recently some quotations from, I think they're fairly recent quotations, but actually this kind of thinking has been going on for quite a while. What do people think in the world think about marriage and about children? One fellow wrote, "There are 7 billion people already. The species is doing okay. Do we really need any more?" Always when people talk like that, always wonder, you mean we got too many good people? Is that what you mean by that? We got too many people. We don't have too many good people, at least not that I've noticed. And one way to have good people is to have children and rear them to be good people. I don't know that the world ever runs out of space for them. Do you? One fellow wrote, "People only have children because they think they're supposed to, because of their culture, their religion. It's what their parents did. Or some weird selfish desire, like they love kids, or that they want to watch them grow or want a family." Those are weird, selfish desires in the minds of some people. Another fellow wrote, "I've always assumed I would have kids. I knew that someday I would have some of my own. But honestly, as I got into my 30s, I realized I was in love with the concept of having children more than actually wanting to have them. Says, I like children, but I always thought of children being 10 years from now. Do I want one now? If 5 years, a year from now? No. Well, you miss a lot. Another fellow wrote, I get that kids are an amazing gift and that there's nothing better than bringing life into this earth, blah, blah, blah. But as it stands now, I'm just not interested in having kids at all. Maybe I'm just selfish, but I want to enjoy life and do things without having a huge obstacle in my way, etc. And I think that kind of thinking is maybe more popular now than it's been any time in the last 100 years. That idea has always been around. I tell you one thing that guy's got right, and that is that when it comes to parenting, parenting and selfishness just don't go together. They absolutely does not. In fact, I think it's important for us to recognize that while there are many, many benefits that come from being a parent, there are also costs to being a parent. And I want to think with you for a few minutes tonight, this afternoon, about the cost of parenthood. What does it cost to be a parent? Well, I'll tell you one thing it'll cost you. It'll cost you money. Little ones are expensive. I had found this chart. This is put out by the United States Department of Agriculture. It's a few years old. And what this shows is the cost of raising a child to 17 years old. Child born in your house, by the time they're 17 grown up in your house, they cost you, according to this idea, $235,000 a child. And they break down the expenses involved in that. I don't know if that's true or not. One good piece of news about that, they don't ask for it up front. That's good. You know, I don't know. I get to calculating on that. I think that according to this chart, they've cost me more than I've made. So I don't know how that worked. But anyway, it might vary a bit. But there's no doubt, and all of us know, I mean, children, they're expensive to get out of the hospital. You don't have great insurance. And, you know, the food bill goes up because they eat every day. And it takes pretty quickly about as much to clothe the boy as it does the father. Diapers? By the way, just a little along and along here. We were thrilled to death about disposable diapers. They are expensive, but you know, just the generation before mine did not have those disposable diapers. For those of you who are younger, you may not remember cloth diapers. One thing my wife and I said when we were blessed to have children, we said, hey, we may not be able to eat on Thursdays, but we're going to have disposable diapers. Get that out of the house. Now, well, they are expensive, though. It was great when we got rid of that issue. Medical expenses come along. And so there's a cost involved in having children. That's the point. You know what God says about that? He says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, that if any will not provide for his own, especially the of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know what the Lord says about that? He says, pay the bill. Support your children. And don't act like somehow that you have done them a great favor, because that's what you owe. I have met some folks through my experience, and you may have too, men who had the crossed view, the mixed up view, that somehow because they went out and had a job bringing in a paycheck, and the wife maybe devoted herself to the home and raising up their children and keeping the home for them, for the family, that somehow that money is mine, and I'll give them some, but don't ask for too much, and don't come back and ask for any more. People who have understanding know that money you bring in belongs to the family. It belongs as much to them as it does to me. I've seen some men who were mean with their wives and their children, and made them feel like some sort of charity case in their own house. It's ungodly. It's disgusting. What the Lord says is that we ought to provide for our own. And that's not a favor, that's a duty and a responsibility. So we just say that to say when you count up the cost of parenthood, it's going to cost some money, and don't be shocked by that, and don't act like somehow you're put upon by that. Let me add as a sort of a counterbalance to that. I believe God does call on us to provide for the needs of our family. I do not believe, and you don't believe, that He calls on us to provide for every want of a child. Every wish, everything they see on television, everything that comes along, you know, that's not the picture. There's an old expression about how money does not grow on trees. Let me tell you what wise parents have done through the years. They have learned the importance early on of teaching their children the connection between work and the things that you have. That's a good thing to do. Little ones who have chores, little ones who maybe are paid money in order to earn some money and to feel what it's like to earn money and to know what it's like to spend money you've earned. And parents who teach that early on, I think, do their children a great service. Sometimes we wonder, where did this entitled world come from? I think it came from us. I think it came because we somehow taught our children that we owed them everything and everything belonged to them and no questions to be asked. When the family sacrifices, the children can sacrifice. They can feel a part of that. And everything that they want, it's okay to want things you can't get. And the earlier we learn that lesson as human beings, it seems to me, the more it'll help us and the better it will be. Mom and daddy, hardworking people, children, have no responsibility and no sense of there's something wrong with that. So, back to the point. The point is, it costs parents money. Children do bring that. But it does more than cost money. You know, it costs us time to be parents. That's a very important thing, it seems to me. It's not enough just to give your children things. What we need to do is to take the time with our children to teach them of the greatness of God. Deuteronomy 29:29. Secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, always. The things that God has revealed belong to us and to our children. All of us here have heard many times the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 6, where he told the children of Israel long ago, these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. The responsibility we have to teach our children and to share with them the Word of God. We spoke this morning about the problem and the deadly effects of ignorance. There are, I think, about 1,100 pages in my Bible. I'm not sure how many words there are in the Bible. Somebody's counted them. I hadn't counted them. But I know this. There's not one word in this book that's not important. I don't know how many Bible stories there are in this book, but I know this, your children need to know every one of them. And how will they know them if we don't know them? Who will teach them? The importance of being Bible students as parents and communicating that with our children. It cannot be said enough. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how that from childhood You have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From childhood, Timothy, you have known. We remember in the first chapter as we divide the letter, in verse 5, Paul had made this statement. He had written, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. The responsibility of fathers to bring up their children, the responsibility of mothers, the role of grandmothers in teaching their children about the greatness of God. How valuable is the... I had an opportunity as a kid to hear Brother Lee preach, Irvin Lee preach sometimes. I remember a story he told about his wife, Miss Otha Lee. He used to like to tell about how that when she was a child, her family faced a lot of challenges. I think they were Stubblefields. I think that was the name of the family. When Miss Otha Lee was 2.5 years old, her father was found dead in bed, just suddenly, like that, no warning. And about 2 months later, her youngest sibling was born, and that made seven. Seven children. No father living, no Social Security, didn't know there was such a thing. No assistance. How would they make it? How would they survive? Well, where they lived, strawberries were the money crop. As I remember him telling it, so they hoed strawberries. And they got money to buy cloth, and she made clothes, and they grew some vegetables that they ate, and the older children helped. Different world. I've often wondered, what if my generation or generations after me had to face that kind of challenge? What would they do? I'll tell you what they did. They just made it. But here's the punchline. Here's the point. Brother Lee would tell that his wife could not remember when she learned the stories of David and Joseph and Daniel. She was so young. She doesn't remember the first time she heard it. And the question is, where in the world would a mama with that much to do ever find time to tell her children the stories of the Bible? Well, it wasn't in her spare time because she didn't have any spare time. So what she learned was she could hold strawberries and she could tell Bible stories. She could wash dishes and she could tell Bible stories. And when she put them to bed, she could tell Bible stories. And she raised a group of children that knew something about the Word of God. That's what it costs to be a parent, to be a good parent. It costs time and the vision to teach your children about who God is. I remember talking about teaching. In days gone by, there was a Bible class, and I was teaching the class. Somebody asked him, said they were reading about how the gospel had been spread throughout the whole world. And somebody asked Otto, said, world, were those first century Christians able to spread the gospel like they did? There was no television, there was no telephone, there was no radio. He said, oh, I think that's how they did it. There was no television. There was no... Things that could be tools, but that wound up being distraction. Here's the point. The point is, don't fail to teach your children the greatness of God. Don't fail. Don't let distractions get you away from that... most important. Maybe coupled with that, the idea of the attention, our time. And we need to devote ourselves to our children. Our children need and have a right to our time. I mean, to crawl up in your lap and ask you questions and to hear your answers, We're so busy. We're so busy with everything that there is to be done. And with all good intentions. We work and we work. And even when we're with the kids, it seems to me like so often, and this is just a thought, okay, I don't have a thought to make. I've seen parents run themselves ragged with all kinds of athletic events. And then the kids would be out there in the outfield, you know, playing in the dirt. They couldn't care less about it. But we think we're doing good. Maybe we're doing some good. It might be just as well we could take that time and sit down on the riverbank with them and just listen to them talk. They might have just as... Let me ask, how many folks in this room can think back to their childhood and remember times you had with your father or with your mother? And it might have seemed like nothing at the moment, but to you it meant so much. Little ones treasure time with their fathers and with their mothers. As they grow older, they get out of that some. I used to have one of mine. She, every time I went out on a meeting, she'd spend the first night crying, you know. Dad was gone. She didn't cry too much anymore about me being gone and me. There's a small window there. And we get in what we can while we can. And I'm just pleading with you to never forget that. I'm not preaching Brother Lee's lesson tonight, but I'll mention him one more time. Because I thought this was always a great point. This is out of his book on the home, Good Homes in a Wicked World. And in this book, you know, one point he made that I thought was so true. He said, thinking of obedience, I would like to make the observation that by the time a child reaches the age of accountability, he knows beyond much doubt what his father would say in almost every situation that arises, whether the father is present or not. He wrote this book in the early 70s, I guess. But this is what he wrote. He said, "My father has been dead nearly 30 years. And my memory is not very good. But I think I could very well word his answer to any sensible, practical question I could ask. I lived in his house from my birth until I finished college. We were close and talked of many things during those years. I knew his spirit. I knew his attitude." It occurs to me and to you that if your father raised your children 30 years after you're dead, they still got your voice in their head, and they know your direction on any sensible subject. Done something right there. That's exactly what we're after. I tell you, we can lose that. It can slip away from us. It costs us time and attention. But oh, it's worth it. It's worth it to that child. All of us have more memories if we have some of our childhood. We carry that with us. And as parents, tell you something I've seen from experience. I've been at the deathbed of more than one Christian. I've never yet, not one time, have I ever been in that circumstance where people at their deathbed want to talk about how big their house was or how many cars they bought. Not one time. Every time people want to talk about their children, about their grandchildren. If their grandchildren are not saved, they're concerned about that. That's what's on their mind. You know that as well as I do. Discipline is important. How are we doing on time here? We need to quit here in a minute, don't we? Sorry about that. Okay, let me go quickly about this then. But this is important. There's a pain involved in discipline. And the pain is not just on the backside of the child. There is some pain there. If we do it right, there is some pain there. That doesn't do any damage, really, but it will do enough within the framework of discipline, of love, of instruction, to do some good. The world is so... I've got some charts. I don't think I'm going to get to them. The world is so warped about that. Somebody said, it doesn't make any sense to see your children hitting another child and then you take them off and punish them by hitting them. As if there's no difference in the two. I guess by that same logic, you wouldn't ever put anybody in jail for kidnapping, would you? That doesn't make any sense. You can't put people... That a crime, you know, or a violation of a rule is the same as the punishment for it. I mean, it's just lack of common sense. I read all these things, all these horror stories about all the terrible things that spanking will do to you. You know what it might do for you? It might just teach you restraint. It might just remind you that it's better to follow the rules of those who are wiser and whom God has put in charge of matters than it would be just to do your own thing. So pain is inflicted, but it's always for the purpose of good. Not just, can you overdo it? Absolutely. Can you provoke your children to anger? The Bible warns us such. But it also teaches us that discipline is different than abuse. I thought about the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Not talking about the home here, but he's writing about God disciplining his children. When he wrote in verse 31, if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's what godly people are trying to do. They're trying to punish their children so the police don't have to. So God doesn't have to in hell. We're trying to teach our children restraint. Do that. I don't care. You know, the world has got all kind of noise and nonsense. It's always full of misguided advice. But you can trust what works. You can trust when you see godly parents who have been there, when you read the Word of God, you can trust that. Don't be afraid to discipline your children. I think the truth is, that old saying, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you, is so true. There are times when we as parents are tempted not to discipline our children, not to correct them, even corporally, because it's just too much trouble for us, too painful for us. He that spares the rod hates his son. He that loves him chastens him. At times, no discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, but afterward it works the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What time we need to stop, Martin? Well, don't say that now, because just be me and you here, and that'd be lonely. It's 5 till. All right. Let me mention one other thing. I'll just mention it. And there are others but this is not the first time for you all on this subject, I know. But let me emphasize again the importance of giving an example. It'll cost you an example. We read that passage in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. The city set on this hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, rather, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is there anybody we owe people to anymore? Children. You know, kids see everything. They see stuff we don't want them to see. They're not stupid. There is an old story that you may have heard, I don't know who told it first, about father, and his son came to him and he said, Dad, what is this? His father thought, this is one of those moments, teaching moments here. And so he sat his son down and he said, long speech, you know, son, oh, Christian. Christian is somebody who loves God and loves his neighbor as himself and who's charitable and generous. And he goes through a long laundry list of things that a Christian is. And he got finished and there was a pause. And then his son said, Dad, have I ever seen one? Well, that hurt. I tell you what, kids see us. And they see us when we're in the building, and they see us when we're not in the building. And they see us wherever we go, and they see the fussing going up and down the hallway. They see all of it. Being a parent means an extra reason to commit ourselves to being what we ought to be 24/7. Because God deserves it, first of all, and our children deserve it. Okay, we'll stop there. I appreciate the kind way that you've listened. We're going to have a song of encouragement. You'll take your song books out and turn to the number that's been selected. Let me offer you the invitation to come and to make the Lord your Father, to be His child, serve Him, to live for Him. He loves your soul. Why not now? Come baptized into Christ. Why not now, as a child of God? If you've strayed from Him, return to Him right now. We'll be glad to help you as we stand and sing. Will you please come?